from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Five Sundays away. We are 5 Sundays away from the NFL season. Feels great. As we dive into what we now have as our Sunday countdown.
Right.
So NFL Sunday countdown, we put together a list of fives, and that is 5 potential MVP candidates this season in the NFL. I, being the polite guy that I always am, will allow you, Bob, or you, Mac, to take your list first, however you want to do it.
Mac, why don't you go first on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Okay.
Youth before beauty.
Well, my number one, you guys know my number one. I've been talking about it. It's my most, I guess it's kind of a spicy take. I'm pretty for sure on this. Jordan Love, he's going to win the MVP this year. Okay. I'm really excited about it. They're going to be number one in the NFC. They'll be in the NFC Championship game. They'll have a chance to go to the Bowl this year. Pretty confident in the Packers. After that, it's going to be Josh Allen. People are going, what? Josh Allen don't have any receivers.
Yeah, he's got MVS, who helped two other guys get MVPs. Of course.
Well, he's got MVS. Who's that? Khalil Shakir? I don't know who that is. This guy named Justin Shorter. Who's that guy drafted in the 7th round last year? Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid. Oh, they're good, but they're tight ends. Can they really lift it up? They've got a guy who's going to lift it up. It's Josh Allen. These are the situations I look for. The team's not great. They need a great quarterback. He is that. He'll lift them up. That's a good MVP candidate for me. Justin Jefferson. This is another one. Team quarterback, I'm a Sam Darnold fan. I think Sam Darnold's actually going to surprise a lot of people, because he's got all the intangibles.
He can't Which name are?
great arm talent. He's athletic.
Ghosts. He's done.
He did. I would see ghosts too if Adam Gase was my coach for the New York Jets franchise. A little bit better of a franchise, a much better coach, a much better offense, and the best wide receiver in the league to throw to. Justin Jefferson's going to be nearing the 2,000-yard mark this season in 17 games. And then obviously Mahomes, we don't need to go into why. He's Patrick Mahomes. And then I can't narrow it down to a 5th-year, guys. For some reason, the AFC South is calling my name with one of the 3 of Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, or Trevor Lawrence.
Not Will Levis.
Mm. You know, I'm just coming from Nashville. Yeah, not Will Levis. But right. I do like Levis. I think he's really talented.
The Mayo King.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of those 3 guys. I think
Anthony Richardson.
So you have Sam Darnold as an MVP candidate.
No. Justin Jefferson.
Oh.
Justin Jefferson's MVP candidate, but I think that's because Sam Darnold will be pretty solid and Jefferson's going to get all the work.
Okay.
Jordan Addison out there too.
Absolutely. TJ, I guess, no, not anymore.
Since what about TJ Houshmandzadeh?
In Detroit. Well,
who's he playing for now?
Houshmandzadeh? Not Cincinnati. Bob, you got some MVPs in the fives?
Yeah, I do. I have five candidates for MVP. Patrick Mahomes is winning the thing. The rest are just bridesmaids at the bride or at the wedding again. And okay. So I got Patrick Mahomes as my clear runaway for the MVP, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go with CMC. I think Christian McCaffrey can put up some numbers this year that will get him into the MVP type of category, because I always think Christian McCaffrey is the most valuable player for that team. You take him away from the San Francisco 49ers, are they a Super Bowl team? I think the answer is unequivocally no.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is going to get obvious consideration for MVP if he makes it past the first four or five plays of the season this year, just because of where he plays. If the Jets go 11-6, 10-7, and get into the postseason and are competing all year, Aaron Rodgers will 1,000,000% get votes for the MVP, as he should, because the Jets were nothing without him last year. CJ Stroud is going to be a guy that gets conversation for the MVP as well, because I think Houston is going to be good. And Lamar is always in the conversation for MVP. I think he is one of the most valuable players in the NFL. So I've got Mahomes, CMC, Rodgers, Stroud, and Lamar.
One running back, four quarterbacks. Smart man. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2, Liberty, and Odyssey Station. My top five candidates, Mahomes number, well, he's not number one, but he's on there. CJ Stroud is my number one candidate. Rarely does the MVP go to a rookie, but most often the MVP goes to a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
CJ Stroud is loaded with weapons. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs. They brought in Joe Mixon. They still have your boy.
He could have been MVP last year. He really could have been. You're
Talk
right.
Talk about
he
the end. And then it was just one of those things where it's like, well, the MVP is going to go to Lamar Jackson because he's got the best record in the AFC and the toughest division in the AFC, not counting the actual AFC, but also the AFC North. Mahomes is my second candidate of truth. Like, these are the order that I have them in. Like, mm-hmm. I believe it to be this. MVP, a little bit different than Coach of the Year. Like, Andy Reid will never win it because his expectations are always to win 14 games. He seemingly does that almost every year. Between 11 and 14 games, Andy Reid is supposed to do that, so his expectations are never going to be there. But Mahomes, and now that he's getting made fun of, I think there's a little bit of a, all right, you can thank the Raiders, everybody, for what I'm about to do. Jordan Love is number two or number three in my picks. I like Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur. I like what they can do in the North. Detroit's kind of rented it out for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now Green Bay has their quarterback. They've got some good weapons around him, including a guy named Watson. And we will see how well they can kind of put together that year, because they looked like a new team once Jordan Love had kind of arrived in that offense last year. I've got Tyreek Hill as an MVP candidate.
Okay.
Because obviously, you bring up the Justin Jefferson conversation. Normally, yep. This is a quarterback award. That's why four of my five are on there. But Tyreek Hill could have been the MVP last year. Now, obviously, he started to kind of, the numbers weren't as high up as they were earlier on in the season. But he's a very, very valuable piece to that offense, because you have to understand where 10 is everywhere. And if he wants the 2,000 yards, he wants more money. Kind of a contract year for Tyreek Hill. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And then last but not least, Joe Burrow. Hate him or love him, the guy's still good. The guy, if he's healthy and he has that team going, Cincinnati knows this is their last year of their open window of what they can be as a team to compete with other AFC teams. Joe Burrow's there, coming off an injury, probably going to be the comeback player of the year outside of him or Aaron Rodgers. Those are the two favorites.
Well, I mean, I don't know, depending on how the NFL media wants to vote on that one. You got Burrow and Rodgers for comeback player of the year. We may see co-comeback players of the year.
So my list is CJ Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love, Tyreek Hill, Joe Burrow, I think is five possible MVP candidates. Obviously, there's a few on the table that I didn't mention, but I look at the stories, I look at the teams, and that all seems to make sense. But yeah, Mahomes goes out there and throws 5,048. He's going to be the MVP.
All right, you guys each picked a wide receiver to go along with quarterbacks. I picked a quote-unquote running back to go along with my quarterbacks. Which position do you think we will see win an MVP besides quarterback first? Will it be wide receiver or will it be running back?
No, it'd be McCaffrey.
You think it'll be McCaffrey?
He damn near won it last year.
Yeah, I think Christian McCaffrey is the only guy, in my opinion, that's why I put him on my list, but the only guy, in my opinion, outside the quarterbacks where they will allow somebody that's not a quarterback to win the MVP. I mean, my God, we haven't seen a defensive player win it since 86 when Lawrence Taylor won the MVP of the NFL, and he truly was the MVP that year. We have got to get out of the mindset, though, of just quarterbacks winning this award, yes, because I just don't think, guys, we fairly look at who should be the most valuable player, because I think if you're doing it right, Christian McCaffrey was the most valuable player last year. There may be a time where Myles Garrett is the MVP of this league and should get the award, or where Micah Parsons or Chris Jones are the MVP of this league and should get that type of award. Like, we've got to stop just passing this thing out to basically the best quarterback out there, because there are other players that elevate their game to a high level that just don't get the recognition they deserve because this has become just a straight quarterback award.
Well, you know who's going to change that is Mahomes. Because you know how they always change things around players? We talked about this last week with Tiger Woods at Augusta. They made it longer and harder, but really they just made it Tiger-proof. And then everybody else is like, it was already tough. Mahomes wins another MVP. They'll be like, all right, we're going to have quarterback of the year, and then we're going to have most valuable player. So then you take everything out of it, and then you start seeing it. Because they'll be like, we're tired of Mahomes. He'll just win MVP a ton. Because, what, Peyton won it 4 or 5 times?
5 times.
5 times. I mean, Peyton Manning never won a ring, but he always won MVPs, and everybody's just like, we don't have a chance. Somebody on the text line says, if Derrick Henry didn't win it in 2020, running back never will. Henry wasn't like McCaffrey, though. He couldn't go out for passes as well as McCaffrey can and become, 100 rushing, 100 passing.
McCaffrey's in a different conversation of guys. Like, he's a different type of player than your standard running back. I wouldn't necessarily refer to him as a running back. I just refer to him as an offensive weapon, and that's okay to do. Like, we can evolve and change the way we classify athletes and positions and things like that. Like, Christian McCaffrey, from a true, like, okay, he's a running back because that's what he's listed as and that's what they'll pay him as on the franchise tag and all that kind of stuff. Christian McCaffrey isn't a running back. He's an offensive weapon.
You know, like in college.
OW.
Yes, in OW. Like, in college, when they don't have a position, they just put athlete.
Yeah.
That's McCaffrey. He's athlete.
Yeah, absolutely he is.
Speaking of athletes, the Olympics are underway. It is team diving. Right,
synchronized
now.
Diving, man.
Mm, tiny splash.
Yeah, you don't want a big splash
nope,
on that.
You want
one,
a tiny splash? Check this out. I'm always afraid I'd hit my head.
Well,
on
I mean,
things.
Greg Louganis did that, back in the 80s and hit his head on the board and it was nasty. And
yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Every time I watch these Olympic events, I think about, like, the diving, I think about Greg Louganis smashing his head on the board. I mean, it was.
I've never heard of that. That's,
that shows your age right there.
Yeah, I don't want to look that up.
it's brutal. I mean, he smacks the hell out of his head.
Yeah. God.
But we look at, moving forward, those were our Sunday countdown. We're now 5 Sundays away. I can't believe that. We have a football game Thursday night.
Thursday night. Yeah,
dude. We got the Hall of Fame game.
So we've got baseball, we've got football, we've got Olympics on Thursday night. That's a full night.
All I need is your little smokehouse catering sponsorship. Hey. Just come by my house, drop off the wings and the nachos.
Yeah.
Good,
there you go. There you go.
I'll come back fatter than ever, but I will have an excuse.
There you go.
Brett Veach, Mac, you brought this up, I believe, right? The five 3-day rookies that could make the starting lineup. Jaden Hicks is on your list, but among others as well, and you have reference of pass proof.
Well, yeah, they were talking about 5-day-3 rookies who could make the starting lineup, and Jaden Hicks was third on that list. Really exciting for us, a position of need right now, obviously. Bob, you talked about last week, Justin Reed dealing with some injuries. We don't know when he'll be back in the lineup. Safety is a position of need. Jaden Hicks, if he could step in either up top in the box or back there as free safety, who knows? But I just feel like, Brett Veach has had a lot of hits on day three, and maybe more than we maybe give him even credit for, and he's already the best GM. We already call him the best GM. But 2017, didn't have any hits. First year, it's okay. Warm up. 2018, no huge day three impact players. Okay, first couple years, getting warmed up, figuring these things out, making some trades, getting the foundation set right around Mahomes. 2019, this really starts to get into gear. Rashad Fenton, solid player at corner for us in the 6th round. Allegretti. 2020, Legarius Sneed. 2021, Noah Gray and Trey Smith. 2022, 3 players right now, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson.
Watson, yes!
Isaiah Pacheco in the 7th round, and then last year, of course, Shamari Connor for now in the 4th round. That's just from the last draft. We'll see if any more come together other than Shamari Connor. You look at Brandon Bean for the Bills. I mean, there's 3 guys, and 2 of them aren't on the team anymore from the same time, 2017, from day 3. You look at the Bengals. Legitimately, the Bengals since 2017 have not drafted 1 player, impact player, who started or actually been even a role guy for them since 2017 on day 3. Not 1.
Yeah.
Not one guy.
Well, and that shows you, too, the importance of that stage of the draft. A lot of people get the rounds 5, 6, and 7. Unless you're Binkley, you're really not paying that much attention. Yeah. Don't care and whatnot. But the Chiefs have done a marvelous job of finding, and it's not just like day three of the draft. It's also the undrafted free agents and whatnot, right? They have saved Clark Hunt a lot of money in free agency by going out there and finding these guys in the draft and this late in the draft. And it's both a blessing and I would say a detriment as well, because Clark Hunt just looks at it and goes, well, you just keep drafting well in the 5, 6, and 7 rounds, and we won't have to go out there and stock the roster with free agents. And sometimes, you know, Brett will go, hey, can I have a couple of bucks to go sign a good wide receiver? And Clark will look at him and go, nah, you just draft good ones. You're fine. You don't need to do that. Like, so like his success in the draft is both a blessing and a curse, because they're just going to look at it and go, wow, we trust what you're going to do in the draft. There's no reason to go out there and break the bank in free agency. And they're right about that. I think free agency in football is the biggest fallacy. Unless you're plugging a hole here or there, you go out and you draft like this, you're never going to have the need to spend foolishly in free agency and cost your team to go into salary cap hell. Brett Veach has got a system. He's got the cheat code, and it's working like a charm right now.
There's also a common denominator, too. It seems that that's where he finds his defensive players.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, a lot of them in the later rounds, yeah.
Like, I mean, you look at Snead, Williams, Watson, you know, you look at Jamari Connor, you look at all those guys, they're defensive
Watson,
players.
Yes!
And they make impacts because they don't have to be Trent McDuffie. They don't have to be those guys. But when you draft guys like McDuffie, because you've drafted Snead, you know that can work, you're okay seeing those guys go off. And that's why you also see Brett Veach doesn't like to trade picks. Mm-hmm. He likes to acquire them, or I think they got one this year. They got a third for this year's upcoming draft and last year's draft. And people are like, why would he do that? And it's like, because that mind is going nonstop.
Because there's probably somebody already in next year's draft that he's looking at.
100%. Or there's already somebody on the roster, if not more than one, that he's like, we're not probably going to obtain that guy next year.
Right.
So I've got to get somebody now that I know that can be in the, and we've seen it work. And that's the best part, is that people be like, oh, yeah, he's got a couple of hits. But it's like, no. Go back and look at the history. Go back and look. Okay, they drafted Legarius Sneed. Why? Because they knew they weren't going to sign Tre'Davious Ward. Mm-hmm. They went and got Trent McDuffie. They were really high on him. Why? Because they knew that Legarius Sneed's game was going to continue to elevate and he was probably not going to be affordable. That's just the way things go. That's what Brett Veach does, and that's why he's the best GM in the entire NFL.
And that's why you have to look at the drafts, you know, like in 2024, you look at the draft and go, okay, who's close to being a free agent, who may not be around in 2025, and then look at the positions that were drafted this year, the interior offensive linemen, right? There's a reason why. You got Trey Smith, you've got Creed Humphrey, and you got Joe Tooney all coming up on the ends of their contracts. And so you're going to start to need to have some turnover there. You're probably not going to bring all three, you know, of those guys back into the fold. And so they've done just a great job of drafting guys and allowing them to kind of grow in their positions and not drafting for need. That's also been the beauty of it, right? When was the last time the Chiefs went into a draft with a true 100%, oh my God, we have to draft this position or we're going to fail as a franchise?
Right.
And, I mean, you people will say wide receiver.
I was going to say, yep.
They will say, that's what they'd say. They will say wide receiver this year. Mm-hmm. They would be just fine if they didn't draft Xavier Worthy, okay? They're better because of it, but you didn't go into the draft going, we have to have a wide receiver or we failed
we're
as a
screwed.
Franchise, right? Mm-hmm. You haven't done that since Brett Veach has taken over.
Back in Brett Veach town.
Mm-hmm.
Six guys in the last 3 years from on day three.
And somebody gives credit to the coaching staff, too. Yeah, Brett Veach knows which guys to draft because he knows the hands that he's putting them in are good hands that are going to develop these players.
Well, yeah, you know, the way it looks is they get them down to the last two or three guys. He goes to Andy and goes, which one do you like the best? Andy goes, I like that guy there. Okay, fine, we'll take that guy.
Fair enough.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Five Sundays away. We are five Sundays away from the NFL season. Feels great as we dive into what we now have as our Sunday countdown.
Right.
So NFL Sunday countdown, we put together a list of fives, and that is five potential MVP candidates this season in the NFL. I, being the polite guy that I always am, will allow you, Bob, or you, Mac, to take your list first, however you want to do it.
Mac, why don't you go first on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Okay.
Youth before beauty.
Well, my number one, you guys know my number one. I've been talking about it. It's my most, I guess it's kind of a spicy take. I'm pretty for sure on this. Jordan Love, he's going to win the MVP this year. Okay. I'm really excited about it. They're going to be number one in the NFC. They'll be in the NFC Championship game. They'll have a chance to go to the bowl this year. Pretty confident in the Packers. After that, it's going to be Josh Allen. People are going, what? Josh Allen don't have any receivers.
Yeah, he's got MVS.
Yeah.
Who helped two other guys get MVPs.
Well, he's got MVS. Who's that? Khalil Shakir? I don't know who that is. This guy named Justin Shorter. Who's that guy drafted in the seventh round last year? Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid. Oh, they're good, but they're tight ends. Can they really lift it up? They've got a guy who's going to lift it up. It's Josh Allen. These are the situations I look for. The team's not great. They need a great quarterback. He is that. He'll lift them up. That's a good MVP candidate for me. Justin Jefferson. This is another one. Team quarterback, I'm a Sam Darnold fan. I think Sam Darnold's actually going to surprise
Why?
A lot of people, because he's got all the intangibles.
You can't Which are?
great
the
arm
man
talent.
Saw
he's athletic.
Ghosts. He's done.
He did. I would see ghosts too if Adam Gase was my coach for the New York Jets franchise. A little bit better of a franchise, a much better coach, a much better offense, and the best wide receiver in the league to throw to. Justin Jefferson's going to be nearing the 2,000-yard mark this season in 17 games. And then obviously Mahomes, we don't need to go into why. He's Patrick Mahomes. And then I can't narrow it down to a fifth-year, guys. For some reason, the AFC South is calling my name with one of the three of Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, or Trevor Lawrence.
Not Will Levis.
Mm. You know, I'm just coming from Nashville. Yeah, not Will Levis. But right. I do like Levis. I think he's really talented.
The Mayo King.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of those three guys. I think
Anthony Richardson.
So you have Sam Darnold as an MVP candidate.
No. Justin Jefferson.
Oh.
Justin Jefferson's MVP candidate, but I think that's because Sam Darnold will be pretty solid and Jefferson's going to get all the work.
Okay.
Jordan Addison out there too.
Absolutely. TJ, I guess, no, not anymore.
What about TJ Houshmandzadeh?
In Detroit. Well,
who's he playing for now?
Houshmandzadeh? Not Cincinnati. Bob, you got some MVPs in the fives?
Yeah, I do. I have five candidates for MVP. Patrick Mahomes is winning the thing. The rest are just bridesmaids at the bride or at the wedding again. And okay. So I got Patrick Mahomes as my clear runaway for the MVP, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go with CMC. I think Christian McCaffrey can put up some numbers this year that will get him into the MVP type of category, because I always think Christian McCaffrey is the most valuable player for that team. You take him away from the San Francisco 49ers, are they a Super Bowl team? I think the answer is unequivocally no.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is going to get obvious consideration for MVP if he makes it past the first four or five plays of the season this year, just because of where he plays. If the Jets go 11-6, 10-7, and get into the postseason and are competing all year, Aaron Rodgers will 1,000,000% get votes for the MVP, as he should, because the Jets were nothing without him last year. CJ Stroud is going to be a guy that gets conversation for the MVP as well, because I think Houston is going to be good. And Lamar is always in the conversation for MVP. I think he is one of the most valuable players in the NFL. So I've got Mahomes, CMC, Rodgers, Stroud, and Lamar.
One running back, four quarterbacks. Smart man. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2, Liberty, and Odyssey Station. My top five candidates, Mahomes number, well, he's not number one, but he's on there. CJ Stroud is my number one candidate. Rarely does the MVP go to a rookie, but most often the MVP goes to a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
CJ Stroud is loaded with weapons. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs. They brought in Joe Mixon. They still have your boy.
He could have been MVP last year. He really could have been. You're
Talk
right.
about the end. And then it was just one of those things where it's like, well, the MVP is going to go to Lamar Jackson because he's got the best record in the AFC and the toughest division in the AFC, not counting the actual AFC, but also the AFC North. Mahomes is my second candidate of truth. Like, these are the order that I have them in. Like, mm-hmm. I believe it to be this. MVP, a little bit different than Coach of the Year. Like, Andy Reid will never win it because his expectations are always to win 14 games. He seemingly does that almost every year. Between 11 and 14 games, Andy Reid is supposed to do that, so his expectations are never going to be there. But Mahomes, and now that he's getting made fun of, I think there's a little bit of a, all right, you can thank the Raiders, everybody, for what I'm about to do. Jordan Love is number two or number three in my picks. I like Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur. I like what they can do in the North. Detroit's kind of rented it out for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now Green Bay has their quarterback. They've got some good weapons around him, including a guy named Watson. And we will see how well they can kind of put together that year, because they looked like a new team once Jordan Love had kind of arrived in that offense last year. I've got Tyreek Hill as an MVP candidate.
Okay.
Because obviously, you bring up the Justin Jefferson conversation. Normally, yep. This is a quarterback award. That's why four of my five are on there. But Tyreek Hill could have been the MVP last year. Now, obviously, he started to kind of, the numbers weren't as high up as they were earlier on in the season. But he's a very, very valuable piece to that offense, because you have to understand where 10 is everywhere. And if he wants the 2,000 yards, he wants more money. Kind of a contract year for Tyreek Hill. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And then last but not least, Joe Burrow. Hate him or love him, the guy's still good. The guy, if he's healthy and he has that team going, Cincinnati knows this is their last year of their open window of what they can be as a team to compete with other AFC teams. Joe Burrow's there, coming off an injury. Probably going to be the comeback player of the year outside of him or Aaron Rodgers. Those are the two favorites.
Well, I mean, I don't know, depending on how the NFL media wants to vote on that one. You got Burrow and Rodgers for comeback player of the year. We may see co-comeback players of the year.
So my list is CJ Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love, Tyreek Hill, Joe Burrow, I think is five possible MVP candidates. Obviously, there's a few on the table that I didn't mention, but I look at the stories, I look at the teams, and that all seems to make sense. But yeah, Mahomes goes out there and throws 5,048. He's going to be the MVP.
All right, you guys each picked a wide receiver to go along with quarterbacks. I picked a quote-unquote running back to go along with my quarterbacks. Which position do you think we will see win an MVP besides quarterback first? Will it be wide receiver or will it be running back?
No, it'd be McCaffrey.
You think it'll be McCaffrey?
He damn near won it last year.
Yeah, I think Christian McCaffrey is the only guy, in my opinion, that's why I put him on my list, but the only guy, in my opinion, outside the quarterbacks where they will allow somebody that's not a quarterback to win the MVP. I mean, my God, we haven't seen a defensive player win it since 86 when Lawrence Taylor won the MVP of the NFL, and he truly was the MVP that year. We have got to get out of the mindset, though, of just quarterbacks winning this award,
yes,
because I just don't think, guys, we fairly look at who should be the most valuable player, because I think if you're doing it right, Christian McCaffrey was the most valuable player last year. There may be a time where Myles Garrett is the MVP of this league and should get the award, or where Micah Parsons or Chris Jones are the MVP of this league and should get that type of award. Like, we've got to stop just passing this thing out to basically the best quarterback out there, because there are other players that elevate their game to a high level that just don't get the recognition they deserve, because this has become just a straight quarterback award.
Well, you know who's going to change that is Mahomes. Because you know how they always change things around players? We talked about this last week with Tiger Woods at Augusta. They made it longer and harder, but really they just made it Tiger-proof. And then everybody else is like, it was already tough. Mahomes wins another MVP. They'll be like, all right, we're going to have quarterback of the year, and then we're going to have most valuable player. So then you take everything out of it, and then you start seeing it. Because they'll be like, we're tired of Mahomes. He'll just win MVP a ton. Because what, Peyton won it 4 or 5 times?
5 times.
5 times. I mean, Peyton Manning never won a ring, but he always won MVPs, and everybody's just like, we don't have a chance. Somebody on the text line says, if Derrick Henry didn't win it in 2020, running back never will. Derrick Henry wasn't like McCaffrey, though. He couldn't go out for passes as well as McCaffrey can and become, 100 rushing, 100 passing.
McCaffrey's in a different conversation of guys. Like, he's a different type of player than your standard running back. I wouldn't necessarily refer to him as a running back. I just refer to him as an offensive weapon, and that's okay to do. Like, we can evolve and change the way we classify athletes and positions and things like that. Like, Christian McCaffrey, from a true, like, okay, he's a running back because that's what he's listed as and that's what they'll pay him as on the franchise tag and all that kind of stuff. Christian McCaffrey isn't a running back. He's an offensive weapon.
You know, like in college.
OW.
Yes, in OW. Like, in college, when they don't have a position, they just put athlete.
Yeah.
That's McCaffrey. He's athlete.
Yeah, absolutely he is.
Speaking of athletes, the Olympics are underway. It is team diving. Right,
synchronized
now.
Diving, man.
Mm, tiny splash.
Yeah, you don't want a big splash
nope,
on that.
You want a
one,
tiny
though.
Splash? Check this out. I'm always afraid I'd hit my head.
Well,
on
I mean,
things.
Greg Louganis did that, back in the 80s and hit his head on the board and it was nasty. And
yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Every time I watch these Olympic events, I think about, like, the diving, I think about Greg Louganis smashing his head on the board. I mean, it was.
I've never heard of that. That's,
that shows your age right there.
Yeah, I don't want to look that up.
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, he smacks the hell out of his head.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But we look at, moving forward, those were our Sunday countdown. We're now 5 Sundays away. I can't believe that. We have a football game Thursday night.
Thursday night. Yeah,
yeah. Dude. We got the Hall of Fame game.
So we've got baseball, we've got football, we've got Olympics on Thursday night. That's a full night.
All I need is your little Smokehouse Catering sponsorship. Hey. Just come by my house, drop off the wings and the nachos.
Yeah.
Good,
there you go. There you go.
I'll come back fatter than ever, but I will have an excuse.
There you go.
Brett Veach, Mac, you brought this up, I believe, right? The five 3-day rookies that could make the starting lineup. Jaden Hicks is on your list, but among others as well, and you have reference of pass proof.
Well, yeah, they were talking about 5-day-3 rookies who could make the starting lineup, and Jaden Hicks was third on that list. Really exciting for us, a position of need right now. Obviously, Bob, you talked about last week, Justin Reed dealing with some injuries. We don't know when he'll be back in the lineup. Safety is a position of need. Jaden Hicks, if he could step in either up top in the box or back there as free safety, who knows? But I just feel like, Brett Veach has had a lot of hits on day three, and maybe more than we maybe give him even credit for, and he's already the best GM. We already call him the best GM. But 2017, didn't have any hits. First year, it's okay. Warm up. 2018, no huge day three impact players. Okay, first couple years, getting warmed up, figuring these things out, making some trades, getting the foundation set right around Mahomes. 2019, this really starts to get into gear. Rashad Fenton, solid player at corner for us in the 6th round. Allegretti, 2020, Legarius Sneed. 2021, Noah Gray and Trey Smith. 2022, 3 players right now, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson.
Watson, yes!
Isaiah Pacheco in the 7th round, and then last year, of course, Shamari Connor for now in the 4th round. That's just from the last draft. We'll see if any more come together other than Shamari Connor. You look at Brandon Bean for the Bills. I mean, there's 3 guys, and 2 of them aren't on the team anymore from the same time, 2017, from day 3. You look at the Bengals. Legitimately, the Bengals since 2017 have not drafted 1 player, impact player who started or actually been even a role guy for them since 2017 on day 3. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one guy.
Well, and that shows you, too, the importance of that stage of the draft. A lot of people get to rounds 5, 6, and 7. Unless you're Binkley, you're really not paying that much attention. Yeah. Don't care and whatnot. But the Chiefs have done a marvelous job of finding, and it's not just like day three of the draft. It's also the undrafted free agents and whatnot, right? They have saved Clark Hunt a lot of money in free agency by going out there and finding these guys in the draft and this late in the draft. And it's both a blessing and I would say a detriment as well, because Clark Hunt just looks at it and goes, well, you just keep drafting well in the 5, 6, and 7 rounds, and we won't have to go out there and stock the roster with free agents. And sometimes, you know, Brett will go, hey, can I have a couple of bucks to go sign a good wide receiver? And Clark will look at him and go, nah, you just draft good ones. You're fine. You don't need to do that. Like, so like his success in the draft is both a blessing and a curse, because they're just going to look at it and go, wow, we trust what you're going to do in the draft. There's no reason to go out there and break the bank in free agency. And they're right about that. I think free agency in football is the biggest fallacy. Unless you're plugging a hole here or there, you go out and you draft like this, you're never going to have the need to spend foolishly in free agency and cost your team to go into salary cap hell. Brett Veach has got a system. He's got the cheat code, and it's working like a charm right now.
There's also a common denominator, too. It seems that that's where he finds his defensive players.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, a lot of them in the later rounds. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you look at Snead, Williams, Watson, you know, you look at Jamari Connor, you look at all those guys, they're defensive
Watson,
players.
Yes!
And they make impacts because they don't have to be Trent McDuffie. They don't have to be those guys. But when you draft guys like McDuffie, because you've drafted Snead, you know that can work, you're okay seeing those guys go off. And that's why you also see Brett Veach doesn't like to trade picks. Mm-hmm. He likes to acquire them, or I think they got one this year. They got a third for this year's upcoming draft and last year's draft. And people are like, why would he do that? And it's like, because that mind is going nonstop.
Because there's probably somebody already in next year's draft that he's looking at.
100%. Or there's already somebody on the roster, if not more than one, that he's like, we're not probably going to obtain that guy next year.
Right.
So I've got to get somebody now that I know that can be in the, and we've seen it work. And that's the best part, is that people be like, oh, yeah, he's got a couple of hits. But it's like, no. Go back and look at the history. Go back and look. Okay, they drafted Legarius Sneed. Why? Because they knew they weren't going to sign Charvarius Ward. Mm-hmm. They went and got Trent McDuffie. They were really high on him. Why? Because they knew that Legarius Sneed's game was going to continue to elevate, and he was probably not going to be affordable. That's just the way things go. That's what Brett Veach does, and that's why he's the best GM in the entire NFL.
And that's why you have to look at the drafts, you know, like in 2024, you look at the draft and go, okay, who's close to being a free agent, who may not be around in 2025, and then look at the positions that were drafted this year, the interior offensive linemen, right? There's a reason why. You got Trey Smith, you've got Creed Humphrey, and you got Joe Tooney all coming up on the ends of their contracts. And so you're going to start to need to have some turnover there. You're probably not going to bring all three, you know, of those guys back into the fold. And so they've done just a great job of drafting guys and allowing them to kind of grow in their positions and not drafting for need. That's also been the beauty of it, right? When was the last time the Chiefs went into a draft with a true 100%, oh my God, we have to draft this position or we're going to fail as a franchise?
Right.
And, I mean, people will say wide receiver.
I was going to say, yep.
They will say, that's what they'd say. They will say wide receiver this year. Mm-hmm. They would be just fine if they didn't draft Xavier Worthy, okay? They're better because of it, but you didn't go into the draft going, we have to have a wide receiver or we failed
we're
as a
screwed.
Franchise, right? Mm-hmm. You haven't done that since Brett Veach has taken over.
Back in Brett Veach town.
Mm-hmm.
Six guys in the last 3 years from on day three.
And somebody gives credit to the coaching staff, too. Yeah, Brett Veach knows which guys to draft because he knows the hands that he's putting them in are good hands that are going to develop these players.
Well, yeah, you know, the way it looks is that they get them down to the last two or three guys. He goes to Andy and goes, which one do you like the best? Andy goes, I like that guy there. Okay, fine, we'll take that guy.
Fair enough. Five Sundays away. We are 5 Sundays away from the NFL season. Feels great as we dive into what we now have as our Sunday countdown.
Right.
So NFL Sunday countdown, we put together a list of fives. And that is 5 potential MVP candidates this season in the NFL. I, being the polite guy that I always am, will allow you, Bob, or you, Mac, to take your list first, however you want to do it.
Mac, why don't you go first on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Okay.
Youth before beauty.
Well, my number one, you guys know my number one. I've been talking about it. It's my most, I guess it's kind of a spicy take. I'm pretty for sure on this. Jordan Love. He's going to win the MVP this year. Okay. I'm really excited about it. They're going to be number one in the NFC. They'll be in the NFC Championship game. They'll have a chance to go to the Bowl this year. Pretty confident in the Packers. After that, It's going to be Josh Allen. People go, what? Josh Allen don't have any receivers?
Yeah, he's got MVS.
Yeah.
Who helped two other guys get MVPs.
Well, he's got MVS. Who's that? Khalil Shakir? I don't know who that is. This guy named Justin Shorter. Who's that guy drafted in the seventh round last year? Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid. Oh, they're good, but they're tight ends. Can they really lift it up? They've got a guy who's going to lift it up. It's Josh Allen. These are the situations I look for. The team's not great. They need a great quarterback. He is that. He'll lift them up. That's a good MVP candidate for me. Justin Jefferson. This is another one. Team quarterback, I'm a Sam Darnold fan. I think Sam Darnold's actually going to surprise
Why?
A lot of people because he's got all the intangibles.
He can't Which name are?
great
the
arm talent. He's athletic.
Ghosts. He's done.
He did. I would see ghosts too if Adam Gase was my coach for the New York in the New York Jets franchise. A little bit better of a franchise, a much better coach, a much better offense, and the best wide receiver in the league to throw to. Justin Jefferson's going to be nearing the 2,000-yard mark this season in 17 games. And then obviously Mahomes, we don't need to go into why. He's Patrick Mahomes. And then I can't narrow it down to a fifth-year, guys. For some reason, the AFC South is calling my name with one of the three of Anthony Richardson, C.J. Stroud, or Trevor Lawrence.
Not Will Levis.
Mm. You know, I'm just coming from Nashville. Yeah, not Will Levis. But right. I do like Levis. I think he's really talented.
The Mayo King.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of those three guys. I think
Anthony Richardson.
So you have Sam Darnold as an MVP candidate.
No. Justin Jefferson.
Oh.
Justin Jefferson's MVP candidate, but I think that's because Sam Darnold will be pretty solid and Jefferson's going to get all the work.
Okay.
Jordan Addison out there too.
Absolutely. TJ, I guess, no, not anymore.
Since... What about TJ Houshmandzadeh?
In Detroit. Well,
who's he playing for now?
Houshmandzadeh? Not Cincinnati. Bob, you got some MVPs in the fives?
Yeah, I do. I have five candidates for MVP. Patrick Mahomes is winning the thing. The rest are just bridesmaids at the bride or at the wedding again. And okay. So I got Patrick Mahomes as my clear runaway for the MVP, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go with CMC. I think Christian McCaffrey can put up some numbers this year that will get him into the MVP type of category because I always think Christian McCaffrey is the most valuable player for that team. You take him away from the San Francisco 49ers. Are they a Super Bowl team? I think the answer is unequivocally no.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is going to get obvious consideration for MVP if he makes it past the first four or five plays of the season this year, just because of where he plays. If the Jets go 11-6, 10-7, and get into the postseason and are competing all year, Aaron Rodgers will 1,000,000% get votes for the MVP, as he should, because the Jets were nothing without him last year. C.J. Stroud is going to be a guy that gets conversation for the MVP as well, because I think Houston is going to be good. And Lamar is always in the conversation for MVP. I think he is one of the most valuable players in the NFL. So I've got Mahomes, CMC, Rodgers, Stroud, and Lamar.
One running back, four quarterbacks. Smart man. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2, Liberty, and Odyssey Station. My top five candidates, Mahomes number, well, he's not number one, but he's on there. C.J. Stroud is my number one candidate. Rarely does the MVP go to a rookie, but most often the MVP goes to a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Stroud is loaded with weapons. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs. They brought in Joe Mixon. They still have your boy.
He could have been MVP last year. He really could have been. You're
Talk
right.
Talk about
he
the end. And then it was just one of those things where it's like, well, the MVP is going to go to Lamar Jackson because he's got the best record in the AFC and the toughest division in the AFC, not counting the actual AFC, but also the AFC North. Mahomes is my second candidate of truth. Like, these are the order that I have them in. Like, mm-hmm. I believe it to be this. MVP, a little bit different than Coach of the Year. Like, Andy Reid will never win it because his expectations are always to win 14 games. He seemingly does that almost every year. Between 11 and 14 games, Andy Reid is supposed to do that, so his expectations are never going to be there. But Mahomes, and now that he's getting made fun of, I think there's a little bit of a, all right, you can thank the Raiders, everybody, for what I'm about to do. Jordan Love is number two or number three in my picks. I like Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur. I like what they can do in the North. Detroit's kind of rented it out for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now Green Bay has their quarterback. They've got some good weapons around him, including a guy named Watson. And we will see how well they can kind of put together that year, because they looked like a new team once Jordan Love had kind of arrived in that offense last year. I've got Tyreek Hill as an MVP candidate.
Okay.
Because obviously, you bring up the Justin Jefferson conversation. Normally, yep. This is a quarterback award. That's why four of my five are on there. But Tyreek Hill could have been the MVP last year. Now, obviously, he started to kind of, the numbers weren't as high up as they were earlier on in the season. But he's a very, very valuable piece to that offense, because you have to understand where 10 is everywhere. And if he wants the 2,000 yards, he wants more money. kind of a contract year for Tyreek Hill. Why not? Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, Joe Burrow. Hate him or love him, the guy's still good. The guy, if he's healthy and he has that team going, Cincinnati knows this is their last year of their open window of what they can be as a team to compete with other AFC teams. Joe Burrow's there coming off an injury. Probably going to be the comeback player of the year outside of him or Aaron Rodgers. Those are the two favorites.
Well, I mean, I don't know, depending on how the NFL media wants to vote on that one. You got Burrow and Rodgers for comeback player of the year. We may see co-comeback players of the year.
So my list is C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love, Tyreek Hill, Joe Burrow, I think is five possible MVP candidates. Obviously, there's a few on the table that I didn't mention, but I look at the stories, I look at the teams, and that all seems to make sense, but yeah, Mahomes goes out there and throws 5,048. He's going to be the MVP.
All right, you guys each picked a wide receiver to go along with quarterbacks. I picked a quote-unquote running back to go along with my quarterbacks. Which position do you think we will see win an MVP besides quarterback first? Will it be wide receiver or will it be running back?
No, it'd be McCaffrey.
You think it'll be McCaffrey?
He damn near won it last year.
Yeah, I think Christian McCaffrey is the only guy, in my opinion, that's why I put him on my list, but the only guy, in my opinion, outside the quarterback rankings or outside the quarterbacks where they will allow somebody that's not a quarterback to win the MVP. I mean, my God, we haven't seen a defensive player win it since 86 when Lawrence Taylor won the MVP of the NFL, and he truly was the MVP that year. We have got to get out of the mindset, though, of just quarterbacks winning this award, because I just don't think, guys, we fairly look at who should be the most valuable player, because I think if you're doing it right, Christian McCaffrey was the most valuable player last year. There may be a time where Myles Garrett is the MVP of this league and should get the award, or where Micah Parsons or Chris Jones are the MVP of this league and should get that type of award. Like, we've got to stop just passing this thing out to basically the best quarterback out there, because there are other players that elevate their game to a high level that just don't get the recognition they deserve because this has become just a straight quarterback award.
Well, you know who's going to change that is Mahomes. Because you know how they always change things around players? We talked about this last week with Tiger Woods at Augusta. They made it longer and harder, but really they just made it Tiger-proof. And then everybody else is like, it was already tough. Mahomes wins another MVP. They'll be like, all right, we're going to have quarterback of the year, and then we're going to have most valuable player. So then you take everything out of it, and then you start seeing it. Because they'll be like, we're tired of Mahomes. He'll just win MVP a ton. Because, what, Peyton won it four or five times?
Five times.
I mean, Peyton Manning never won a ring, but he always won MVPs, and everybody's just like, well, we don't have a chance. Somebody on the text line says, if Derrick Henry didn't win it in 2020, running back never will. Henry wasn't like McCaffrey, though. He couldn't go out for passes as well as McCaffrey can and become, 100 rushing, 100 passing.
McCaffrey's in a different conversation of guys. Like, he's a different type of player than your standard running back. I wouldn't necessarily refer to him as a running back. I just refer to him as an offensive weapon, and that's okay to do. Like, we can evolve and change the way we classify athletes and positions and things like that. Like, Christian McCaffrey, from a true, like, okay, he's a running back because that's what he's listed as and that's what they'll pay him as on the franchise tag and all that kind of stuff. Christian McCaffrey isn't a running back. He's an offensive weapon.
You know, like in college.
OW.
Yes, in OW. Like, in college, when they don't have a position, they just put athlete.
Yeah.
That's McCaffrey. He's athlete.
Yeah, absolutely he is.
Speaking of athletes, the Olympics are underway. It is team diving.
Right, synchronized now. Diving, man.
Mm, tiny splash.
Yeah, you don't want a big splash
nope,
on that.
You want
one,
a tiny splash? Check this out. I'm always afraid I'd hit my head.
Well,
on
I mean,
things.
Greg Louganis did that, back in the 80s and hit his head on the board and it was nasty. And
yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Every time I watch these Olympic events, I think about the diving, I think about Greg Louganis smashing his head on the board. I mean, it was.
I've never heard of that. That's
that shows your age right there.
Yeah, I don't want to look that up.
it's brutal. I mean, he smacks the hell out of his head.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But we look at moving forward, those were our Sunday countdown. We're now five Sundays away. I can't believe that. We have a football game Thursday night.
Thursday night. Yeah,
dude. We got the Hall of Fame game.
So we've got baseball, we've got football, we've got Olympics on Thursday night. That's a full night.
All I need is your little smokehouse catering sponsorship. Hey. Just come by my house, drop off the wings and the nachos.
Yeah.
Good,
there you go. There you go.
I'll come back fatter than ever, but I will have an excuse.
There you go.
Brett Veach, Mac, you brought this up, I believe, right? The five 3-day rookies that could make the starting lineup. Jaden Hicks is on your list, but among others as well, and you have reference of pass proof.
Well, yeah, you know, they were talking about 5 day three rookies who could make the starting lineup, and Jaden Hicks was third on that list. Really exciting for us, a position of need right now. Obviously, Bob, you talked about last week, Justin Reed dealing with some injuries. We don't know when he'll be back in the lineup. Safety is a position of need. Jaden Hicks, if he could step in either up top in the box or back there as free safety, who knows? But I just feel like, you know what, Brett Veach has had a lot of hits on day three, and maybe more than we maybe give him even credit for, and he's already the best GM. We already call him the best GM. But 2017, didn't have any hits. First year, it's okay. Warm up. 2018, no huge day three impact players. Okay, first couple years, getting warmed up, figuring these things out, making some trades, getting the foundation set right around Mahomes. 2019, this really starts to get into gear. Rashad Fenton, solid player at corner for us in the sixth round. Allegretti, 2020, Legarius Sneed. 2021, Noah Gray and Trey Smith. 2022, three players right now, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson.
Watson, yes!
Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round, and then last year, of course, Shamari Connor for now in the fourth round. That's just from that the last draft. We'll see if any more come together other than Shamari Connor. You look at Brandon Bean for the Bills. I mean, there's three guys, and two of them aren't on the team anymore from the same time, 2017, from day three. You look at the Bengals. Legitimately, the Bengals since 2017 have not drafted one player, impact player, who started or actually been even a role guy for them since 2017 on day three. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one guy.
Well, and that shows you, too, the importance of that stage of the draft. A lot of people get to rounds 5, 6, and 7. Unless you're Binkley, you're really not paying that much attention. Yeah. Don't care and whatnot. But the Chiefs have done a marvelous job of finding, and it's not just like day three of the draft. It's also the undrafted free agents and whatnot, right? They have saved Clark Hunt a lot of money in free agency by going out there and finding these guys in the draft and this late in the draft. And it's both a blessing and I would say a detriment as well, because Clark Hunt just looks at it and goes, well, you just keep drafting well in the 5, 6, and 7 rounds, and we won't have to go out there and stock the roster with free agents. And sometimes, you know, Brett will go, hey, can I have a couple of bucks to go sign a good wide receiver? And Clark will look at him and go, nah, you just draft good ones. You're fine. You don't need to do that. Like, so like his success in the draft is both a blessing and a curse, because they're just going to look at it and go, wow, we trust what you're going to do in the draft. There's no reason to go out there and break the bank in free agency. And they're right about that. I think free agency in football is the biggest fallacy. Unless you're plugging a hole here or there, you go out and you draft like this, you're never going to have the need to spend foolishly in free agency and cost your team to go into salary cap hell. Brett Veach has got a system. He's got the cheat code, and it's working like a charm right now.
There's also a common denominator, too. It seems that that's where he finds his defensive players.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, a lot of them in the later rounds, yeah.
Like, I mean, you look at Sneed, Williams, Watson, you know, you look at Shamari Connor, you look at all those guys, they're defensive
Watson,
players.
Yes!
And they make impacts because they don't have to be Trent McDuffie. They don't have to be those guys. But when you draft guys like McDuffie, because you've drafted Sneed, you know that can work, you're okay seeing those guys go off. And that's why you also see Brett Veach doesn't like to trade picks. Mm-hmm. He likes to acquire them. Or I think they got one this year. They got a third for this year's upcoming draft and last year's draft. And people were like, why would he do that? And it's like, because that mind is going nonstop.
Because there's probably somebody already in next year's draft that he's looking at.
100%. Or there's already somebody on the roster, if not more than one, that he's like, we're not probably going to obtain that guy next year.
Right.
So I've got to get somebody now that I know that can be in the, and we've seen it work. And that's the best part, is that people be like, oh yeah, he's got a couple of hits, but it's like, no. Go back and look at the history. Go back and look. Okay, they drafted Legarius Sneed. Why? Because they knew they weren't going to sign Tre'Davious Ward. Mm-hmm. They went and got Trent McDuffie. They were really high on him. Why? Because they knew that Legarius Sneed's game was going to continue to elevate and he was probably not going to be affordable. That's just the way things go. That's what Brett Veach does, and that's why he's the best GM in the entire NFL.
And that's why you have to look at the drafts, you know, like in 2024, you look at the draft and go, okay, who's close to being a free agent, who may not be around in 2025, and then look at the positions that were drafted this year, the interior offensive linemen, right? There's a reason why. You got Trey Smith, you've got Creed Humphrey, and you got Joe Tooney all coming up on the ends of their contracts. And so you're going to start to need to have some turnover there. You're probably not going to bring all three, you know, of those guys back into the fold. And so they've done just a great job of drafting guys and allowing them to kind of grow in their positions and not drafting for need. That's also been the beauty of it, right? When was the last time the Chiefs went into a draft with a true 100%, oh my God, we have to draft this position or we're going to fail as a franchise?
Right.
And, I mean, I mean, you people will say wide receiver.
I was gonna say,
they will say, that's what they'd say. They will say wide receiver this year. Mm-hmm. They would be just fine if they didn't draft Xavier Worthy. Okay, they're better because of it. But you didn't go into the draft going, "We have to have a wide receiver, or we failed
We're
as a
screwed.
Franchise." Right? Mm-hmm. You haven't done that since Brett Veach has taken over.
Back in Brett Veach town,
mm-hmm.
Six guys in the last 3 years.
Yeah,
from on day three.
And somebody gives credit to the coaching staff, too. Yeah, Brett Veach knows which guys to draft, mm-hmm. because he knows the hands that he's putting them in are good hands there and develop these players.
Yeah, you know, the way it looks is they get them down to the last two or three guys. He goes to Andy and goes, "Which one do you like the best?" Andy goes, "I like that guy there." Okay, fine, we'll take that guy.
Fair enough.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.